The mineral kingdom will be healed. The plant kingdom will be healed. There will be no more thorns or thistles.
Pastor Ray Bentley on the surprising effects of the Lord's return.
Not only man was redeemed, but the ground that he shed his blood for is going to be redeemed. There will be no more badlands. There will be no more deserts, no more wastelands. In fact, Isaiah 35 says that the desert will blossom as the rose.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Wouldn't it have been a thrill to experience the Garden of Eden? Creation just the way God intended. Well, one day the earth will return to its former glory. It's part of God's plan for the last days and beyond. And today, Pastor Ray takes us to Ephesians and reveals some of those surprising facts.
Okay, the title of the message is Unsolved Mysteries. Because for several reasons. One is because that's one of my favorite TV shows, Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack. He's got the long trench coat. He's very serious. In 1 hour, he solves the mysteries. It's really fun. But anyway, in Ephesians, interestingly enough, if you've ever, you know, as you read through the New Testament, a number of different times you will discover that it talks about mysteries all through the New Testament, a variety of different mysteries. Now, what are the mysteries? Where do they fit in? What does that mean? And that's what we want to try to define and to share with you this morning. So beginning in chapter 1, verse 7. In him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. That's the best gift that we could receive, is that we're forgiven. We're washed and we're cleansed from our sins just by simple faith, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And then in verse 9, having made known to us the mystery, there's that word, of his will. So the mystery of the will of God is made known to those who have been forgiven, washed of their sins, who are believers. God makes known the mystery of his will, which is another way of saying the mystery of his goal. What is the goal? Why did you create mankind? Where is this all leading to? Where does it all culminate? Where is it all heading? What does it all mean? So he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. That, and here it is, here's the mystery. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, when it's ready, when everything has been fulfilled, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Paul says the mystery of God is that all things, and more specifically, all people, would be made one through Jesus Christ. And his ultimate plan is he's going to unite the world. And he is going to do what men have tried to do for thousands of years, bring peace on earth, get the nations to cooperate and work together. And we're far away from that. There's a desire for it, but there constantly seems to be this inability to ever arrive. Peace will come when Jesus comes back. And the real impetus and the forward thrust of that whole movement is the gospel. God calling his people, God calling out his children. And thus you have a lot of these secrets now being revealed. For instance, one is the mystery of Israel. And the mystery of Israel is that God would set the nation aside for a period of quite a while. The kingdom didn't come Jesus didn't sit on the throne, at least on earth. He went up into heaven and is interceding for the church and for the gospel. And then in Romans 11, Paul says, in the last days, just about the time that God's done gathering, because God had said to Abraham, your name will no longer be called Abram, but you shall be called Abraham, for you shall be the father of many nations. So when that is just about done and complete, then Jesus said the sign that things are about ready to wrap up is Israel will come back on the scene, and Jesus is about ready to come. So that's one mystery. Then there's the mystery of the bride of Christ that we'll talk about more in Ephesians 5, the secret of us being his bride. There's the mystery or the secret of Babylon, which is the false one-world religion, spoken of in Revelation 17, the seeds of which are already among us today. There is a movement that has a lot of momentum around the world to unite all the religions into one. Contrary to the hopes of some in the past, the world is not getting less religious, it's getting more religious. And there is then, since we cannot seem, as the goal of some was, to eradicate religion from people, then we need to somehow control it. So you have to blend them all together in a way that everybody could kind of come together and everybody could get along with one religion. Because for some reason, man is incurably religious. And I believe that Jesus will be used by this one world religion, but it'll be a cosmic Jesus. It'll be a Jesus somehow that de-emphasizes or is devoid of the cross and the blood. You need to get that out of there and him being the only way. But he'll be up there among, you know, the greats. And somehow the world will want to come together. That's spoken of in Revelation in the last days. That's another mystery. There is also the mystery of the rapture. With all these other things happening, Israel coming back, the one world religion movement taking place, the body of Christ fulfilling the Great Commission around the world, then there is the secret of the rapture. And without going into great detail, very simply, at a particular time before Revelation says there is great tribulation. Jesus said there shall be great tribulation, such as the world has not known since the beginning of human history in the last days. When we think of, we describe sometimes the war of Armageddon, it really, the word there is not war as in single, but it would be better translated the campaign of Armageddon. It is apparently a series of wars that culminates in the whole world. And Jesus said, if it were possible, no flesh would survive. We are now the first generation, proud generation, I speak facetiously, that have the capacity to destroy every living thing on the planet Earth. Not only human beings, but all the plants, all the animals. We have that power, that capacity. So that's the wrestling match that is going on there. And the Bible says, unfortunately, that man on his own, left to his own, would destroy every last human being. But God is on the throne. God has a plan. And part of the plan is that he is going to come for his church and take the church out of the world before that great tribulation comes. And those who are then left behind will face great suffering. But even then, God's grace doesn't end, and there is a great revival that happens then as well. Why hasn't Jesus come back yet? Because God is not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want anybody left behind. He doesn't want anybody to be separated from him. He wants all who will to come and to receive his gift of life. But that day will come. I believe the next great event on God's calendar will be Jesus coming for his church. He says, when I come for the church, I'm going to come and steal my bride in the middle of the night, which goes back to a Jewish wedding. It's part of their culture. Every Jewish bride in ancient times was literally stolen in the middle of the night. It was part of the romance and the tradition and the culture of a Jewish wedding. That's why she was never told the day or the hour of her wedding. She was watching and waiting, and she just had to be ready. And she knew it was their custom to come in the middle of the night. Thus, she would call her girlfriends over, and they would have a slumber party and watch two at a time through the night, knowing that at any moment, he's going to come and steal me, and that begins the wedding ceremony. It's very exciting and romantic part of their tradition. And of course, you can see all of the analogies here. We're watching, we're waiting like a thief in the night. He will come. We don't know the day or the hour. He's preparing a place for us. So all of these mysteries, and then the mystery of the new birth as well. So, okay, go back to Ephesians chapter 1. You were with me there. So the kingdom was postponed. The church was born. For the last 2,000 years, all this mystery of the body of Christ, as I say, it appears likely that we may be at the very end of that mystery, the end of the church age. We may be near the completion of the bride. And the gospel is now making its way back around the circle to Jerusalem. What does that mean? It means that next, after the Lord coming for the rapture, is the kingdom, the coming kingdom, the kingdom of God being established here upon the earth. And that is very exciting. Let me tell you what will happen then. Right now, the kingdom is invisible. Then it will be very visible. Right now, the kingdom is inside of men's hearts and women's hearts. Then it will be clearly seen. The prophecies talk about, not only, you know, we talk a lot about Jesus dying on the cross and shedding his blood to redeem men, but did you know that it is equally true that when Jesus died, he not only redeemed men, but he redeemed the earth? Because in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, you remember what happened? God cursed the ground. He said, you know what? I curse the ground. And from now on, there will be thorns and thistles. So not only was the ground cursed, and for the first time, instead of being like paradise all around the earth, there are wastelands, deserts, badlands, vast areas where nothing would grow. Then, in the plant kingdom was cursed because now thorns would grow and thistles. Apparently, in the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, there were no thorns and no thistles and weeds, as it were. Everything was perfect and beautiful. And then because the plant kingdom got cursed, the animal kingdom was cursed. In the beginning, God didn't have animals eat one another. That was a result of the fall. And thus, part of their curse and judgment was they started eating one another. But the Bible says that when the kingdom is reestablished, that's God's goal, that's God's plan, the ground, not only man was redeemed, but the ground that he shed his blood for is going to be redeemed. There will be no more badlands. There will be no more deserts, no more wastelands. In fact, Isaiah 35 says that the desert will blossom as the rose. That's what it says. So the earth itself, the mineral kingdom, will be healed. The plant kingdom will be healed. There will be no more thorns or thistles. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations, and the trees will shake their branches as if they were clapping their hands when Jesus the King touches down for the second coming in the Mount of Olives. And then the animal kingdom will be healed as well. That's why Isaiah said the lion and the lamb would be lying down together. So the whole earth will be restored when Jesus comes again. Now look with me in verse 12. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Boy, that's a glorious plan. And what an exciting thing to look forward to. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you, the believers, were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. You who trust in Christ are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, we can't see it. I can't see it, but as a believer, I'm sealed. You who are believers this morning have a seal, the seal of God. God sees it, and he claims you, and you are his children. And so I want to just talk for just a couple of moments about what that means exactly. What does the seal signify? Number one, the seal speaks of a finished deal, a deal that has been completed. It is done. Even in our day, when an important document, legal document, gets processed, they are stamped with an official seal to signify the completion of a particular transaction. For instance, as Maranatha Chapel, we are incorporated as a corporation, a nonprofit 501c3, it is called. church corporation in the state of California. And when we bought and purchased this land, for instance, to finalize the legalities of the deal, not only did we, the principals, have to put our signatures on the legal documents, we have this stamp, kind of the corporate stamp, and you put the paper in there, and it's got a nice little decal, little seal, and then it says Maranatha Chapel, San Diego, California, Incorporated. And you seal it, and it embosses the corporate seal. And that is necessary with the signatures in the processing. That means it's legal and it is done and it is finished. Now, to bring, God has sealed you with his own stamp. I bring to your remembrance when they came to Jesus with and asked him, should we pay taxes or not? I think that we're still wanting to ask Jesus that question. Do we have to pay? Okay, but anyway, so he said, well, bring me a Roman coin. So they brought him a Roman coin. And he said, whose face, whose image is embossed on the coin? And they said, Caesar's. He said, well, then give unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and give unto God the things that are God's. In other words, okay, look at the coin. Whose is it? Whose face is on it? Whose image is on it? Whose likeness is embossed upon it? Caesar. Well, if Caesar put his face on it, then it must be his. So wherever Caesar has put his image, then give it back to him. And I believe that Jesus was then also making the correlation, and where you see the stamp of God, where you see the face of God, where you see the image of God, emboss picture of God, give that back to him. Guess who's made in the image of God, who bears his image? You do. But it is sealed. That image has been marred because of sin. We get legally processed, stamped, if you will, sealed, restored to our Creator when we accept Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit stamps us, comes inside of us. You have an invisible seal that you belong to God. And once you're saved, it's a finished deal. You can't lose it. You can't drop it. It can't be stolen from you. You are saved. If you've accepted Christ, you're going to heaven, and there's nothing you can do about it. Praise the Lord. Secondly, the seal speaks of ownership. God has put his seal upon us because he has purchased us to be his own. He not only made us, but he has also purchased us. And then thirdly, the seal is God's engagement ring. Actually, when you look in verse 14, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit in verse 13 and then verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption. What's our guarantee? The Holy Spirit is. And that word guarantee is used in modern Greek for an engagement ring. You have received the seal of the Holy Spirit. You're engaged. You are promised to the Lord. Now, I remember when I asked my wife to marry me, and, you know, it takes a lot of courage for a guy to ask a girl to marry him, because you never know, you know, if she's going to say yes, and maybe she'll say no, and you don't want to be hurt or rejected, and so you work up your courage, and finally you ask. And so I asked Vicky, will you marry me? And then she laughed hysterically. She kept laughing. And tears were coming out of her eyes. And I'm thinking, what did I say? What did I do? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with this picture? This is not the reaction I was going for. And so then she looks at me. When she stopped crying and laughing, she says to me, do you know what today is? I said, no. I hadn't even thought about it. She goes, it's April 1st. I was oblivious. So she laughed. She didn't take me seriously. And I said, when I finally convinced her, no, I am serious. She goes, and you asked me to marry you on April Fool's? And so I thought for a moment, and then I said, honey, I'm just a fool for love. Hey, it worked. And then I was a jeweler's apprentice. That was one of the first things that I did, interestingly, is work with jewelry. And so I designed, along with my boss, who's a Christian guy, Bob Seaman, jewelry, Christian jewelry, and designed a ring for her, and I gave her an engagement ring. And I was so proud of that ring. And, you know, when you're a young guy and that ring costs a lot of money, I mean, it's very precious to you. And then you give it to her, and she puts it on her finger. And I remember it was so cool. Now she's walking around with that ring. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, she's off the market, guys. You know, she's taken. She's mine. And it's the promise of everything else. Now, the wedding will come later. But as we mentioned, in a Jewish culture, at the engagement, from the engagement, even maybe a year away from the actual wedding ceremony, in Jewish culture, once you're engaged, you're legally already married. In the New Testament, you and I are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We have the engagement ring, as it were. But we're not only engaged, where in our culture maybe it gets called off, there's no calling it off in the Jewish culture. We are legally espoused to Christ. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and the one who made the promise to us is not going to take that promise back. He will fulfill everything he promised to do. So we're going to be with him for all time and all eternity. And then finally, it says, who is the guarantee, the ring, as it were, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now, what does that mean? It means that right now you get the Holy Spirit until you get the final redemption of the purchased possession. And that is referring to our new bodies at the return of Christ. So I close with Romans chapter 8, and I just put verse 19 and then verse 23 to summarize and bring it all together. So let's read this scripture out loud together. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Even we Christians, although we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, also groan to be released from pain and suffering. We too wait anxiously for that day when God will give us our full rights as his children, including the new bodies he has promised us. I like that. We get a new body. I can't wait. I want a new body. I want a new model. And it's coming. That's the inheritance. That's the goal. That's part of the prize. It'll be a heavenly body, and we'll be with him forever and ever.
A look into the future from Pastor Ray Bentley's study today in the book of Ephesians here on Maranatha Radio. And listen, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's message, contact us and mention the title, Unsolved Mysteries. It's available on CD for just $7. And again, that title, Unsolved Mysteries. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Ephesians on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, your book, The Holy Land Key, is not only based on your years of biblical study, but it's based on some unique relationships you've enjoyed with people in the Middle East.
You know, that's very true. I had no idea, Dave. The Lord kind of spoke to me, and he just said, hey, you know, you tell the story, you teach the story of prophecy. Son, I got some surprises for you. You're going to be stepping into the story. And when I took that adventure with the Lord, I found myself literally in the office of the current prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and sharing the things of the Lord with him. And it was a powerful, incredible opportunity and experience. And that's part of what I get to share the story about in the book, The Holy Land Key.
He's a thoughtful man that really is trying to do his best to lead that nation.
You know, he is. The whole world being focused on Israel, and right now focused on the prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. We're living at one of the most exciting hours in human history, and we get to share and tell some of those stories in the book, The Holy Land Key.
All right. Well, why not get a copy for yourself? It's available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com.
Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Ephesians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world.
Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.